Psalm 118. We read verse 22. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. See it now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send thou prosperity. And we look to the Lord for his blessing. That is really verse number 24, which I want to just consider with the saints this morning. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Quite something that this psalm is the end of a group of psalms. Most will know that Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 is a group of psalms known as the Hallel. It really celebrates deliverance from Egypt. When we come over to Psalm 120, you'll find there that's the beginning of a group of psalms. And there are 13 psalms. And those 13 psalms celebrate deliverance from Babel. The amazing thing is, in between the group of psalms, the first group, the Hallel, that celebrate deliverance from Egypt, and the latter group, which celebrates deliverance from Babylon, there is a psalm, Psalm 119, which is taken up solely upon the Word of God. And so that tells me that what we need to keep us from the world morally, that is Egypt, and what we need to keep us from the world religiously, that is Babylon, is the Word of God, which is presented to us in Psalm 119. But that's well off my subject, so I can't go there. When we come to this group of psalms, and especially this psalm, it's known as a messianic psalm. And you ask people, I've asked scholars, or supposed scholars, what is it that defines a messianic psalm? And you know what they tell us? Well, it's a psalm which is quoted in the New Testament. And that's okay, until you look at other messianic psalms, and they're not quoted in the New Testament. So, whoever made up that distinction obviously didn't take into account Psalm 24. Some psalms like that, there are other psalms, evidently messianic, but they are not cited or quoted in the New Testament. So it is a messianic psalm. The thing I want to just leave with is this psalm was sung at three Jewish festivals. You might think this morning, what has that got to do with us? Well, it was sung at the Feast of Passover. It was sung at the Feast of Pentecost. And it was sung at the Feast of Tabernacles. So keep that in your mind, please. It will be relevant to what we're discussing. This psalm, sung at the Feast of Passover, sung at the Feast of Pentecost, and sung at the Feast of Tabernacles. Here it is. This is the day which the Lord hath made. It was sung at the Feast of Passover. You remember that in the upper room, two of the Gospels tell us, they sang a hymn. It's really a psalm. They sang a psalm and they went out. I would suggest to you that before or during the Passover meal, part of this group of psalms was sung. And when that Passover meal was finished, and when the Lord, he instituted what we have done this morning, then they sang at least Psalm 118 before he went out to the cross. They sang this psalm and then he went to his death. So it is relevant that at the Feast of Passover, they sang, this is the day which the Lord hath made. It must have been very precious to the Lord Jesus. Going out into the night, in a few hours, he would be upon that cross. And here he sings, this is the day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That tells me of the day of grief. What a day it was. The day of grief. It must have been quite a day for those disciples. As the Lord they trusted in, they saw him being led through the streets of the city. They saw him thorn crowned. They saw him crucified. They see him die. And all the time, ringing in their minds, was the song they had sung on the Thursday night, the night before. Of course, personally, I believe, you may take issue with it, I personally believe the Lord died on a Friday. Friday the 3rd of April, AD 33. He's taken through the streets of the city, and they see him crucified. And all the time, ringing in their minds is this psalm. This is the day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, the day of grief. I sometimes, again, it's sanctified spiritual imagination, but I sometimes, what they thought. I wonder what they thought as that stone is rolled to the door of the sepulchre. I wonder, did those two disciples take a last look at that precious body? And as they rolled the stone and closed that sepulchre and watched it being sealed, I wonder, did they think again, this is the day. The day of grief. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Of course, as I've intimated, it was sung at the Feast of Pentecost. Now, you will know that Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, prophetically speaking, in Leviticus 23, is a foreshadowing of the church. You remember those two loaves. Those two loaves, baking with leaven, baking in the oven. It's a foreshadowing of Jew and Gentile being brought together into one body. The Feast of Pentecost, it speaks typically of the church, which is the body of Christ. And as that feast was progressing, they sang this psalm, this is the day which the Lord hath made. It's not now the day of grief, it's the day of grace. And I see a man called Peter. A lot of people have written him off. The great apostle Peter, you know what? He gets a hard rap. He really does. You speak to people and they give poor Peter a hard rap. But I see Peter on that day and he stands forth to preach. I remember speaking to my friend Peter Orison. It was a stupid question. Really it was. We were together in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, having gospel meetings. And we went to the airport together. And we were sitting having a cup of coffee, Tim Hortons. And as we're having that Tim Hortons, I said to him, Pete, of all those disciples, which one would you have liked to have been? He looked at me and says, which one do you want to be? I know it's a stupid question. I know that. I said, well, I guess I would have liked to have been John. Must be a name thing. He said, why do you want to be John? Well, I said, can you imagine John? He got to lean his head upon the breast of the Lord Jesus. He was the closest of all the disciples to the Lord Jesus. He got to feel and hear the very heartbeat of the Savior. Now I said, Pete, which do you want to be? Oh, he says, I would have been Peter. Yeah. You can imagine it, can't you? Impulsive Peter. And here he is on the day of Pentecost. Of course, his private restoration came before that. He met privately the Savior. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus. They came back to the disciples. And they said, we have seen the Lord. And the others said, he has appeared unto the women. And he's appeared to Peter. Privately, Peter met with the Lord. And he was restored after denying the Lord Jesus. Then in John 21, we have his public restoration. And the Lord, those three times, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now on the day of Pentecost, he steps out and he starts to preach the day of grace. And he preaches once and he sees 3,000 saved. Must have been a mighty day. Preach once and see 3,000 saved. You know what? We can almost preach 3,000 times now, but hardly see one saved. But you know what? Don't be discouraged. Please bear in mind. I don't believe there's a day passes somewhere in our world where a soul doesn't get saved. You know what? God is still bringing his church to fruition. God is still adding stones into that building. This is the day. This is the day of grace. Sinners are still being delivered. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Very quickly, it was said of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, typically, it presents to us a view of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus, when he will bring everything under his feet, under his dominion. Then they will sing this psalm. You remember Passover, the day of grief. Pentecost, the day of grace. Tabernacles, it presents to us the day of glory. Because you know what? There is one, the one we have trusted. He is coming to reign. Yes, he is coming to the air for his church. And after his coming to the air, when he takes us back into heaven to see his glory, there is coming a moment when he will again come from heaven. His feet shall touch the Mount of Olives. He will come. And when he comes, all the angels of God shall worship him. And everything will be put beneath his blessed feet. And the Lord Jesus shall reign. I love to read Psalm 24. I can almost see it as that great army approaches the city of Jerusalem. And from within the city, people, they begin to ask, who's this that comes? Who's this coming to the city? And at last the question is answered. This is he. This is the King of Glory. You know, brethren and sisters, there is a great future before the Lord Jesus. There is a great future before us, we who are linked to him. When he comes in bright array to lead that conquering line, it will be glory then to say, he's a friend of mine. This is the day which the Lord hath made. It's the day of grief associated with Passover. It's the day of grace associated with Pentecost. It will be the day of glory when Jesus Christ is manifested and everything is put beneath his blessing.